Thank you, choir. Before I get started, I wonder if we could hear a bit about God's surprises this week. Where did she go? I was going to throw her under the bus this morning. Alicia. Somebody go get her. She needs to talk about her surprise. Somebody ran for her already. Yes, she's not getting away that easy. Another God surprise this week?
So most of you know, I'm Elise, by the way, the troublemaker. So most of you know this week I was faced with living in my car with my very long-haired cat. And it was not going to be pleasant for either one of us. And the morning before I was to move, put all my stuff in storage, I received a text that I was going to have a place to stay temporarily. So I'm now at Pastor Bill's house watching over that place. And it's a beautiful place. I can't thank the people involved. I know who you are. You know who you are. And it was a total miracle. And I know to expect them because they happen. They've happened to me for the past 11 years, and I'm just really grateful to this congregation. And that's about all I can say before I start crying. Thank you.
As we come to expect the unexpected from our God.
What's that? You didn't say thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. There we go. You're talking about a really lovely God surprise that happened this week. Like,
oh, our adoption is final. Yay!
Thank you. Now you can go. We were privileged enough to be there in the judges' chambers when we all walked in and we tried to all cram into these couple of pews that they had at the back. And he goes, oh, no. Everybody in. Everybody come in. Come up front because this is a happy occasion and I don't get many of those. So come here. And we just partied. He passed out toy little bears to all the kids that were there. And it was an amazing, amazing time of joy and tears and laughter. And little Angelica belongs to Mom and Dad, and Mom and Dad belong to little Angelica now. This morning we continue our series, God is Funny and He Loves Surprises. The sermon title, Surprise? What's on the menu? The leader of the local vegetarian society could not control himself any longer. He just had to find out what pork tasted like. So one summer day, he told his members that he was going on a short vacation. He packed quickly and excitedly drove a few miles to the next town. With his mouth already watering, he stopped at a restaurant and made his way to a table. He placed his order for a roasted pig. And then he waited. And he waited. And then he impatiently waited some more. Finally, the waiter arrived carrying a large platter holding a full roasted pig with an apple in its mouth. At that exact same moment, he heard someone call his name. To his great chagrin, he saw one of his fellow vegetarians walking toward his table. Isn't that something, the leader said with only a moment's pause. All I do is order an apple, and look what comes with it. Shall we all go home now, or shall we? Takeaways from this morning. First, if the Holy Spirit nudges you to do something for the kingdom of God and you don't think you have it in you to do it, take the plunge anyway. Nothing but God's surprises await you. Second, all people are on God's menu as persons fit for His love and His grace. As we look around at the neighborhoods that surround our church, at the people in our workplaces, our schools, the gym, the grocery store, the people, the very people God has put on our doorstep to care for, and yes, to talk with them about Jesus, are there perhaps some who we have assumed are off God's menu? Third, God expects us to witness for His sake to all. I want to try something. Big surprise, huh? Let's take a moment, and I want you to think back to a time of big celebration. It can be anything. Perhaps you remember a wonderful Christmas dinner with your family. We're celebrating Easter, dining with family and friends. Maybe it's a birthday party or an anniversary celebration. Now that you're there, look around. Are you inside in the dining room? Or is it an outside party on a pleasant summer evening with a soft, gentle breeze? Are there decorations around to enhance the celebration? Look at the faces of all those around you. Who's there? Is everyone family? Friends? A mixture of both? Listen to the sounds of their voices. Do you hear laughter? Music? In my case, generally a football game in the background. Now, quickly, what are you eating? If you're anything like me, you probably did not need to think about that very long. Our celebrations, especially because we're Presbyterian, often revolve around food. And when we reflect upon them, as we just did, we probably have as many memories of the flavors and the smells and the taste as we do of the conversations and the relationships. Now imagine somebody just changed the menu. You have arrived at the next celebration, anticipating eating the food that you have come to know and to love. What happened? Where's Mom's apple pie? What about Dad's tri-tip? No turkey for Thanksgiving? Are you kidding? Surprise! You all ended up with something completely unexpected and perhaps even unwanted. Would you be startled? Disappointed? Perhaps even upset? This last Easter, Patty and I and Sister Rachel went to Aunt Mary's house to celebrate. During the previous week, she emailed the menu to everyone and what each of us was contributing to the party. I read the list and I was surprised that Aunt Mary's deviled eggs were not on it. And I was actually really disappointed. Every time I go to a party at Aunt Mary's house, there are always her deviled eggs, and they are so, so wonderful. Why in God's green earth would she change the menu on us? She knows we all love her deviled eggs. when we arrived at the party, we were a little late, and I was truly overjoyed to see the last plate of her deviled eggs on the counter. I was so overjoyed, in fact, that I casually stood with my back to them, making sure that hungry eyes didn't see they were there, and I ended up eating most of them. I didn't eat much of anything else that day, but it didn't matter. Man, they were good. Thank you, Aunt Mary. The scripture reading this morning comes from Acts 11, 1 through 18. Just a side note, I learned that if the scripture's really long, the preaching is shorter. The surprise events here, I think, are some of the most profound in the Bible. What we are going to hear about actually took place in the previous chapter. But Peter's actions were so contrary to Jewish law that many of the folks in the church at Jerusalem were very unhappy. Peter essentially has to convince them that what he did was just in the eyes of God. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" And Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners. And it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord. Nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in the house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Father God, as we explore this surprise change of menu, continue to transform us into your surprise people, people who live in faith and have come to expect the unexpected from you. Amen. Surprise, Peter, a change of menu. However, this is no simple change like Aunt Mary seemingly leaving her deviled eggs off the menu. This change goes against everything Peter holds dear, everything he believes to be true. In Peter's time, Christian Jews believed that to follow Jesus meant following Jewish law. Surprise, Peter, not anymore. For Peter to eat what was on that sheet goes way beyond tradition and expectations. For him, it was a matter of faithfulness to God and his commands. In Peter's understanding, eating what was on that lowered sheet was just as much of a sin as lying or adultery or even murder. He even told God as much when he said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth." Let me translate that. "Are you kidding, God? No way is any of that touching my mouth." But the message from heaven is clear. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. Put yourself in Peter's place. Are you kidding? He must have been absolutely shocked, astounded, whatever word you want to put in there. Surprise, Peter. Guess what you're having for dinner? We have all heard the saying, "You are what you eat." However, for those in Peter's day, it would have been expanded to include this phrase, "And you are who you eat with." Jews did not eat with Gentiles. They did not accept their hospitality no matter what. They believed that if they did, it would make them spiritually unclean and they would be shunned by everyone they know. Surprise, Peter! Not anymore. By sending Peter to Caesarea and the home of non-Jews, most certainly to accept that person's hospitality and eat with that person, God was showing him not only has the menu changed, but hey, folks, the people around the table have changed. Surprise, Peter! Guess who's coming to dinner? No wonder the Christian Jews in Jerusalem were upset. They've all got to be thinking, Peter has lost his mind. They can't believe what he is saying or what he's done. Surprise, Peter! All your friends think you're nuts. I'm pretty sure Peter knew that this was a possible outcome of his actions. But he said yes to God anyway. He said yes to God anyway. Have you ever felt the gentle or not so gentle nudge of the Spirit urging you to do something? And you kind of ignored it because you were afraid of what your friends might think? You might think it's a bit odd or maybe worse. Or perhaps you were afraid because it seemed a tad far out there for you. A little too far out of your wheelhouse. I suspect we have all done it. However, I will tell you, I do it less and less as my faith grows stronger and stronger. There was a time in my life I never told anyone I was a Christian. And I have always been a Christian because I grew up in a Christian household. I was embarrassed and afraid of what my friends might think of Christianity and me. And later in life, who, me? Tell people about Jesus and what he's done for me? There is no way I'm doing that. Not on your life. I don't want to. It's too scary. I can even get all churchy on you. God, it's really not one of my spiritual gifts. You know that. Surprise, Phil. I'm going to turn you into a preacher so you get to talk about me all the time. God wants all of us talking about Jesus and what he has done for each of us. Jesus' great command, love one another, and then go talk about me to the ends of the earth and back. Okay, I admit it doesn't read quite that way with your NRSV. However, I think you get the gist of it. If the Holy Spirit nudges you to do something for the kingdom of God, and you don't think it's in that you have what it takes to do it, take the plunge anyway. I promise you, nothing but God's surprises await you. One more big surprise, and it's a big one. Once Peter began to speak, his new Gentile friends were filled with the Spirit too. Surprise, Peter, bet you didn't see that one coming. It is the movement of the Spirit in the Gentile believers that finally convinces Peter's critics. After all, if entering these believers' hearts is good enough for the Holy Spirit, who are they to say that they are unclean or unworthy? Gentiles are now on God's menu of acceptable converts. Surprise, other Christian Jews. I know you didn't see that coming. All people, and I emphasize all, are on God's menu as persons fit for His love and His grace. As we look around the neighborhoods that surround our church, we look at the people in our workplaces, our schools, the gym, the grocery store, the people who God has put on our doorstep to care for, and yes, to talk with them about Jesus. Are there perhaps some of them who we have assumed are not on God's menu? Perhaps someone who is so different from us, it doesn't warrant our attention. Or perhaps some who are so far from who we are that it's way too easy to forget that they're even there. Surprise, everyone. God expects us to witness to all for His sake.